Church. That's all. That's all I had up to go up here to say. That's all.
No. Amen. Looks like we do have a proud papa, don't we? I think that's all right, too, by the way. Okay, you want to turn that down. All right. Make sure that's on. All right. Well, it's good again. I get, like I said, to be in church this morning, and we are just so excited to be here. And many of you have said you're glad for us to be here. We're glad to be here. Amen. And as we mentioned Wednesday night, it's been a long journey, but now the journey begins. In fact, let me say a couple things about that. I do intend to continue on that thought for maybe a couple weeks, Lord willing, on Wednesday night, on the journey begins. And so come back Wednesday night, we'll continue on that thought. I didn't even get to where we wanted to be Wednesday night. We were having a good time. I don't know about you, but we had a good time in church Wednesday night. And if you're able to come back, we do want to encourage you to do that. Just a couple quick announcements that I wanted to make. One, back here in the sound booth area, if we can, we have some folks that are trained to be back there. And so let's try to not go in that area unless we're trained. Not because we don't want you there, just because there's a lot of sensitive things that can be unplugged and things of that nature. And that's, we're having a little bit of an issue with the monitors and things of that nature. So we'll have to get that sorted out. But we just want to ask if you would. We appreciate your help and everything like that. We're just trying to keep that all electrics and protected and things of that nature. So keep that in mind. I do want to make mention about VBS. I know it's coming up, and my understanding is this the first VBS, or maybe first in a long time that the church has ever had. Is that right? And so that is an exciting time, and that's exciting to have Vacation Bible School, especially in light of everything that has happened in the last year. Things that have transpired, I think that a lot of churches, not just here, did not have a Vacation Bible School in the year 2020, but it's an exciting thing. And I want to tell you that when you have young people here, I always absolutely love it. It's a joy to see them here. It's a joy to see them here at church and get excited about being at church, and mainly, of course, to try to share the Word of God with them. On their level, amen, I do think that it's important to always be mindful to who you preach and to who you teach to. I've taught Bible college classes. I've taught new beginners classes. I've taught children's classes. I'm not intending to teach a children's class in the same way that I would teach a college class, and there's a reason for that, amen. But we have a time set aside as a church where we really focus on the young people. And so I'm asking you now if you would pray with us about that, and we're going to need some help. It takes a lot of work to put together a Vacation Bible School, and some of you might say, well, preacher, I can't teach a class. That's okay. We're not necessarily needing folks to teach a class. I think the way it's set up, Pastor Silcott's going to be taking care of a lot of the teaching, but we need help with crafts and games. There's times of snacks. There's a lot of activities that we could use your help with. Anybody can help serve Kool-Aid or help serve a snack, or anybody can help, you know, play a game with children or help supervise children. They'll be needing help with getting kids registered. Anybody could set up in the back and make sure they have a registration card. It's important. It's absolutely critical that we have information that we need. Some of it is very important. What if they have an allergy that we need to be aware of? And it's our responsibility to look out for those kind of things as a church. So we need help. And so I'm asking if you could, let's go ahead and plan on maybe next Sunday morning. Right after service, let's just take about 10 minutes. I'll even try to preach a little bit shorter if you promise to come. Amen. I'll give you a little bit of time, and we'll have a short meeting. I'll try to keep it at 10 minutes of some specific things that we need. We'll have a list that you can sign up for, because we're going to need to get on the ball very, very quick and start making plans for that. We'll need help getting flyers and things out. So there's a lot of areas that you can help. And I remember seeing a little comic, and it was a fella looking at looked like he had opened up a letter, and he was sitting there looking at it, and he just looked surprised. And his wife said, "What is it?" He said, "It's from the church. We've been called to active duty." And so that's what we are trying to do. We need all hands on deck regarding Vacation Bible School. So, yes, we are asking you to be called to active duties. We sure could use your help, and we would really appreciate that. Thank you in advance. And then something else that I'm working on. Now, understand, you know, in Sunday school, let me mention what we're studying in Sunday school. We're studying through the life of Joseph. And Genesis is the book of beginnings. And there's a lot of things that we can learn and glean from studying the life of Joseph, things that relate to us personally. And part of what we're going to see about Joseph is the dreams and the visions that God gave him. And I believe that's part of what God does through your pastors. He gives them vision and direction for the church. And you say, well, what is that? I don't know exactly yet, simply because I don't feel like I've been here long enough to have a... There's some things that God has laid already on our heart that we want to focus on and pray about. Yeah, absolutely. But you have to understand that that's part of what I take personally, is to know the church and get to know you to see how we can best be a help. And so I may come around and visit folks. I may come around and ask a lot of questions. And it's because I'm trying to get a better understanding and learn who you are, spend time with you so that we can try to be as best help to you. Amen. You know, I'm not a doctor. Don't misunderstand me. But when you go make a doctor visit, they ask a lot of questions. And you know what they're doing? They're making an evaluation. They're trying to gain understanding of what your physical fitness or your medical conditions may be. Well, that's part of what I take personally being a pastor. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to spend time with you so that we can try to gain some spiritual fitness as a consensus for the church. And I've already even talked to a couple folks personally that, you know, say, hey, Pastor, can we pray together and counsel together about some things? And I'm happy to do those things too. I do believe, church, that there's two major parts of the ministry. There's the public aspect, and that's really what I'm talking about, addressing the needs of the church. And then sometimes there's a private aspect. Sometimes folks need just some special time of counsel and prayer, and we're happy to do those things. And it's our desire to do that. And so with that being said, whenever the Lord leads, I do want to have, even if it's just for the rest of the year, have a time where we share some of our vision, have a vision Sunday. Generally, that's something that you do in January, but we do want to do have that, and I'll make sure that everybody knows well in advance some things that we want to pray about. So pray with us about those, amen, and that ultimately we want to do what the Lord wants and go in the direction that He wants us to do, and I found that always works best when we follow His will, amen. All right, if you got your Bibles, I ask you to turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35, and got a message that the Lord's laid on our heart, and really this passage of Scripture came to my heart and to my mind on the plane ride back in early March when we were here, when we were preaching as a candidate, and the Lord directed me to this passage of Scripture, and really it's been on my heart ever since, and I just really felt like this would be a good starting place on really our first full Sunday. I know that I was here a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, but really today is our first full Sunday with trying to be a help to the church today. And there's some things that we want to share that the Lord's put on our heart. And if you found your place in Isaiah chapter 35, we'll start reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. He will come and save you. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, through fools, shall not err therein. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. Again, Lord, for allowing us to be in church today. We do ask for your wisdom, Lord. We ask for clarity of thought for the next few moments. Lord, as we try to relate this message you've laid upon our heart, I do pray that it be a help to the people here today. Lord, again, as we said already, you know what we stand in need of better than even we ourselves. We ask you to be with that one who's never come to the saving knowledge of you, that you convict them of their need for salvation. Lord, we pray that you be with that Christian who needs encouragement today, that you lift them up and strengthen their walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our family really got to spend some time seeing some sights, and I want you to know, church, that it was important to me to take some time with my children and take some time with our family to take them and see some of the wonderful things that the state of Arizona has to offer. I think that Arizona is one of the most unique states in all the country. I personally have been to about 30 states of the United States, and I think that Arizona is one of the most unique, and that it has a lot of vast terrain. I believe there's a lot of beautiful places to visit, maybe even more than most states. I have some states that I thought were pretty and some that I just didn't think that weren't that pretty. I'm not going to start to name those because you'll probably be one from one of them and you'll say, well, preacher, I think it's beautiful there. And I'm sure that there is beautiful spots. I just didn't get to see it all. Amen. Some of them were just literally passing through, or some of them were at an airport. So obviously I don't think that we can make a fair assessment on the beauty. But what I am saying is that it was important to me for my family to get to see some of the beautiful places of Arizona. Part of that reason is you have to understand that, you know, the transition that we made, though it is joyful, and though it has been exciting, though it has been what we have been longing for, at the same token, it has been difficult, and I have to recognize, on our family. Now, I'm not emphasizing that this morning. What I am telling you is that with that being said, I wanted to make a good first impression, in particular with my children. They have a grandmothers that they're missing and grandpas that they're missing even today. And, you know, to me, first impressions make a difference. You realize that you only have one chance to make a first impression. Amen. Whether it's to a new place or when you meet someone, really you have one opportunity to do that. It's literally a once-in-a-lifetime chance. I remember several years ago, in fact, the memory just popped up, I believe it was yesterday, when we took our children to the ocean for the first time. It is one of the favorite memories that I have of raising up my children, the joy of being able to take them to the ocean. And I posted that video yesterday. If you'd like to see it, I'll show it to you. But it's simply my children touching, letting their little feet touch the wet sand and the edge of the ocean as the tide rolled in and out. And hearing them giggle and laugh, and the joy on their faces, is something you cannot put a price tag on. So that's what we have tried to do, and good taking them around and see the beauty and some of the sights around here locally. We didn't go too far. I realize there's other places we could go to, and maybe they're on our list already. But one thing that I did notice in light of the text that we read today is that this time of year, in particular in May, is actually a very pretty time, because things are starting to blossom in the Sonoran Desert. Some of you, as you know from being around here, know it as well as being the living desert, because of some of the things that you see. It's like you see the desert start to come to life. In some ways, I think it's kind of comical, especially some of our friends from Kentucky. They start to say, well, where's all the sand? But we're not talking about the Sahara Desert, okay? We live in the Sonoran Desert around here, okay? It's not a bunch of just sand and you know, big piles of sand. This isn't the beach, okay? That's not where we are. Now, one day when California falls off into the ocean, maybe we will have beachfront property, but that's time from now. I'm just kidding, okay? I'm just joking with you. But what I am saying is that it's a very beautiful time. It's a time when we start to see things come to life. It's a time where we do start to see some greenery out there in the desert. It's a time where even a little bit before now, where you see when you are born again, now you've got that second birth. And that's exactly what God does. He takes something that is dead and dried up and makes life out of it. Now you have to understand what we're looking at today, church, is if we come once we come into Isaiah 35, we're talking about that exact same idea that God starts to bring life and starts to blossom the desert. Now, that's not as significant unless you understand what's going on in Isaiah chapter 34. In Isaiah chapter 34, you start to see some of the judgment of Israel. Now, we're not taking time to read that whole chapter. We're really emphasizing 35 today. But you'll start to see the judgment of God upon the nation of Israel. You see, essentially, that's where we were going when we were lost without Christ. When you are born in your natural state, we are born sinners. And let me remind you that there's nobody here that is without sin. Everybody here is a sinner. Amen? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? You know, that also, that idea of sin, or that word sin, is also an archer's term, in that it means to miss the mark. Amen? But that's who we were before Christ. So then we come into chapter 35. And we see these verses, that the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Thank you, sister. What we're seeing here transpire is that we're seeing a big transition from chapter 34 and chapter 35. There's a big transition. And understand, that's exactly what happens when you transition from being lost and without Christ and then having Christ in your life. You made a transition. In fact, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That is a spiritual transition. Amen? Now, generally what happens when someone gets saved is that they're glad about it. Sometimes I get concerned if somebody gets saved that they're not glad about it. Amen? Now, I realize that people have different emotions, and I'm not saying that you have to react like exactly how somebody else did, but you ought to feel the sense of comfort and peace that God has done inside of you, and that He has done something special to you, and that your destination and your future has changed forever. All I'm saying is that the first thing that we're looking at today, church, when we're talking about when God blossoms in the desert or in desert places, that is, there is a relief from a chastisement that was coming. There is a relief from chastisement that was coming. I'm glad to tell you today that I can go to bed tonight and live in peace, and that I know where I'm going when I die. Amen. I know what will happen to me if God decided to take me home. I know exactly where I'm going. Amen. And I'm glad that God has given me that peace and that joy and a relief to know that I don't have to live that way anymore. In fact, that's actually what brought me to Christ, church. The preacher was preaching one day on hell, and I got convicted of my sin, and I got to worrying that, you know what, if I die without Jesus, if I die without Christ, I'm going to go to a devil's hell. So as we transition from this chapter to that chapter, and by the way, we have those events happen in life. I mentioned briefly just a moment about the journey, or the transition from moving from one state to really the other side of the country. That's a time of transition. That's really what's closing one chapter in our family's lives and opening up a new chapter in our lives. And again, that's again what God does for you, dead and dried up and lost without Christ. One chapter of your life is closing, and really it's now beginning a new life in Christ. So first, we're thankful that there is a relief from the chastisement that was coming. Second of all, what happens when God blossoms? Now again, we're not just talking about actual things that we see happen, but we're talking about spiritually what we see happen. The second thing that happens when God blossoms is that He starts to open the eyes of the blind. Did you read in the text where it said, strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees? Say to the, or verse number 5, go to 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. You see, you can't really understand the Word of God until you know the author. Amen? Now, I've gone soul winning and I've gone door knocking. When I'm door knocking, church, or when I'm trying to witness to somebody, my emphasis is not talking about what version of the Bible they use. They don't understand that. Okay? That's not the discussion for that moment and that time. The Bible says that they are spiritually discerned. They have no understanding of what they're supposed to read or how they're supposed to read or how they're supposed to pray. They don't understand those things. My concern is to help them establish a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then once they have a relationship with Christ, and by the way, the Bible does say that He's the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? So you can't really understand the Bible and the Word of God until you know the author. Now again, when God starts to blossom, blossom also carries the idea of blessing as well. Amen? You ever notice when God blossoms somewhere, He's blessed it. You could say that if God has blossomed the desert, you could say that God has blessed it. But what I'm telling you, church, is that when God starts that transition in your life, spiritually speaking, He will start to open your eyes to the Word of God. Now, first must come salvation. And I can't emphasize this enough today, church, if you've never been saved by the grace of God. We love nothing more than to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. Amen? But hopefully, if you've already done that, it's important that we come to the house of God, because what happens as we hear the Word of God taught, hear the Word of God preached, it's important that we open up our Bibles and get into the Word of God and study it, because what God does through that is He starts to open up our eyes, spiritually speaking. I made reference this morning how you look through things that it affects your vision. Many raise their hands, and I'm included, that either wear contacts or glasses. That affects how you see things. In fact, the purpose of that, as we said earlier, is to help you see more clearly. And if your glasses or your contacts don't help you see more clearly, then maybe it's time to update our prescription. Because that is the goal. That is the purpose behind it. Well, you understand that when God saves you, when God starts to add His spiritual water, spiritual food into your life, part of the purpose and the goal is to help you to see things more clearly. Now, when you look at things from a biblical view, it does affect how you see things. You quite literally, spiritually speaking, start to see things more clearly. And church, that's why it's so important that we come and receive what it is from the Word of God to help us to see things and for help God to open our spiritual eyes, if you will. So we see as we study the text that there is obviously, as what we see described, there's a relief from the chastisement. Thank God I'm not going to hell. Second of all, we're glad that God starts to open the eyes of the blind. But thirdly, I want you to hear or see in verse number 5, not only does it say that the eyes of the blind shall be opened, but it says the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. I remember hearing a story of a good friend of ours several years ago that he was having trouble hearing. And so they took him to the doctor and they ran all the normal tests, and absolutely, there was a problem with his hearing. And they come to find out that really the only problem that he had with his hearing was that he had so much wax in his ears, right, that he was having trouble hearing. So they literally unstopped his ears and cleaned out his ears. And he said, wow, I can hear. You see, church, what happens sometimes, if we don't allow God to work in our lives like we should, we have trouble hearing. You see, what we have done, church, is we have allowed our ears to get dirty. What has happened is that we haven't allowed it to be cleaned up a little bit. And it's easy to go through the motions. I mean, you can be in church, but you're not listening. You can hear what I'm saying, but you're not hearing what I'm saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can hear my audible voice. You can hear the Word of God proclaimed. You can tell me what passage we read out of Isaiah chapter 35. But my greater concern, church, is are you hearing what the Holy Spirit of God is trying to tell you today? Amen. Right. Just because you're here, just because you're listening, doesn't mean that you're hearing. Amen. Right. But you see, that's what happens when God starts to blossom. That's one of the ways that you know. I mean, blossom is another idea. It carries the idea of fruit. Did not Jesus say, you shall know them by their fruit? Amen? You know, we mentioned that the best evidence for a Christian is that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. In other words, something's different. When Jesus said, "You shall know them by their fruit," that is evidence in their life. That, in other words, they're producing some spiritual fruit. Now, I've never been one of those professionals that could just look at any tree and tell you what kind of tree it is. I was at my uncle's house the other day, and I figured out it was a lemon tree. You know how I came to that conclusion? Because there was lemons on it. I mean, after much scientific study, and I seen some lemons on the thing, I came to a conclusion, wow. After my studies, I have concluded this is a lemon tree. Now, there's also those trees with those big, bright orange balls on them. Those are orange trees. Now, I'm really going to show you how much scientific. The ones with the yellow, bigger ones, those are grapefruit. Or some people say citrus, whatever you want. Hey, but I can look at a tree by the fruit. Sometimes they have apples on those. I call those apple trees. Okay? Isn't that smart, Chuck? I mean, that's just bright, isn't it? The Bible says you shall know them by their fruit. And I don't know about you, friend, but I truly desire in my life, when people look at who I am and the people look at my life, and I stand and tell them that I'm a Christian and I tell them that God has done something in my life, but they don't see any fruit, then something is wrong. But you see, one of the ways that you know that, God will start to clean out your ears, spiritually speaking, so that you can hear, so that you can take in the Word of God, so that you can take in what the leadership and will of the Holy Spirit in your life. And now you start to produce some spiritual fruit in your life. Those are the kind of things that happen. That's the kind of evidence in your life when God starts to open your eyes and unstop your ears. You start to see things differently. Isn't it something how when you read the Bible, it gives you a different perspective on things? In one way, you could say, well, my goodness, my life is hard and everything is just bad. Or you start to read the Word of God and you read about God's grace and how God has saved your soul. Then you say, you know what, my life's actually good. Man, God has saved me. Hey, you know, Jesus said having food and raiment, there would be content. As far as I can tell, everybody here is clothed. Praise God. Amen. Everybody here has got clothes. Everybody here has food. If you don't, then we know somewhere where you can get some. That shouldn't be a problem. Jesus said having food and raiment, there would be content. You see, those are the kind of perspective. It starts to change how you look at things. When God starts to water and blossom your life, spiritually speaking, it changes your vision and it changes what you hear. It also ought to change the kind of things that you want to hear. Amen? The kind of things that you want. Hey, you ought to be careful what kind of things that you listen to, Fred. So, preacher, I'm just the way that I am and I'm not changing. Well, that sometimes is good and sometimes it's really bad. There are certain things that you ought not change, amen. You ought not change your position that the Word of God is the Word of God, for example. Amen. There's some things that ought to never change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the difference between Him and us is that Jesus doesn't need improvement, but you and I do. Amen. There ought to be some things in your life that you're willing to let God evaluate and look at your life and say, you know what, maybe I need to have a better attitude. Maybe I need to have a better spirit about some things. Maybe I need to treat people a little better. Maybe I haven't been so kind to my spouse. Maybe I haven't been gracious and understanding with my children as much as I should have. And those are the kind of things that God will allow you to hear and see. We mentioned this morning when God blossoms, there is a relief from the time of chastisement. God starts to open the eyes of the blind. He unstops the ears of the deaf. But then also, He delights the song of the speechless. We read on there in verse number 6, "Then shall the lame man leap as in heart, and the tongue of the dumb sing." Now, oftentimes in the Word of God, when you see the word dumb, it doesn't literally mean that they're dumb in the way that you and I think. Right? I do a lot of dumb things, church, sometimes. Amen? I've done some dumb things. Not that long ago, I was. I hope I didn't offend the sister about talking about the truck, Brother Kevin. But I was a kid. But I done something not like that not that long ago. Let me tell you what I did that was actually dumb. I'm backing up this truck, and I'm thinking, man, I got this. I don't need a spotter over there. Just got the truck a couple months ago, and I'm backing up into the storage facility, and everything's looking good, and all of a sudden I hear a crunch. Thinking, there's no cars over there. I'm not close to the storage. So what did I jackknife the trailer is what I did. And I put a big dent in the side of my truck. And I wanted to get sick. And I wanted to cry. Amen. That was dumb. I should have not been in such a hurry. Amen. Slow down a little bit. That was dumb. So I do dumb things, but what the Bible is describing is not what often we think, oh, that's a dumb person. Got to be careful when you use that terminology anyway. Amen. We ought to not ever tell our kids that they're dumb. But our words affect our children. Our words affect people. Amen. That's not even part of the message. That's free. I'm not even charging you for that. When the Bible talks about, it's generally talking about someone who can't speak. That's what we're referring to. Talking about someone who can't speak. Isn't that amazing when God starts to blossom and when God starts to bless and when God starts to prosper? Look what happens here. It says, then shall the lame man leap as in heart and then the tongue of the dumb sing. You know what happens when you allow God to start to work in your life and he starts to produce some spiritual fruit in your life and you start to blossom as a Christian? You ever looked at them and said, man, they're really blossoming as a Christian. Maybe you didn't use that terminology, but that's kind of what we were saying. They're really growing as a Christian. You could also say that the Lord's really blossomed them in their life. But I like the fact that somebody who didn't have a song before now all of a sudden has a song to sing. You see, the transition back from chapter 34, that person couldn't sing back in chapter 34. They probably didn't feel like they had a lot to sing about. But see, that's what God does. When we step to allow him to work into our lives, then all of a sudden we get a song to sing. You say, well, are you talking about a special? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm simply talking about have something to praise God about. Someone who's lost and without Christ probably doesn't feel like they have a whole lot to praise, thank God for. But somebody who's been saved, somebody who's been growing up in Christ, someone whose spiritual eyes have been opened, someone whose ears have been unstopped, and they start to hear and see what God is doing in their life, now all of a sudden they get excited about the things of God, and they have a reason to praise God for. And I'm telling you here today, friend, you might look at your circumstance, you say, preacher, I don't have a lot to praise God for. Friend, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you've got food and raiment, you've got a church to attend, you've got family, you've got a lot to thank God for, you've got a lot to praise God for, and God has given you a spiritual song in your heart. And maybe there's been chapters in your life, I get it, I've been there, friend. There's been hard times in your life where you say, I don't feel like I had a song, preacher. And I understand what you're saying. But I am saying, but by the grace of God, he's given you a song today. He's given you something to be excited about. He's given you, as the psalmist said, even when he strayed away from God, he asked for him to restore the joy of his salvation. And that's what he wants to do to many of us. That's essentially what happens every year when we start to see the desert blossom. He really restores it back to where it was before. All of us need restoration. And you know, the fact that that's something, that phenomenon happens really every year is a reminder to us that, you know what, we have to constantly be in the state of renewal, really. In fact, the Bible tells us that. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. That renewing is a constant place of renewing, constant place of restoration. In other words, getting something fresh from the Word of God. Getting something fresh from the Holy Spirit of God. But you see, these are the kind of things that happen when God starts to blossom, when God starts to bless, when God starts to produce some spiritual fruit in your life. There's a time of relief from chastisement. We see that God starts to open our eyes. We see that He unstops our ears. And we see that we can delight from the song that He's given us. But then the last thing I want to mention, and I'm through, He always makes a way for the lost. He always makes a way for the lost. Now, the other day, when we went to Lost Dutchman's, I guess some of y'all have been there before. Who's been to Lost Dutchman's Park before? A few of you have. Beautiful place. Loved it. When we got there, my wife was greeted in the ladies' restroom by a scorpion. She went to wash her hands, and there he was. And he had his little stinger out there. Go ahead, wash your hands. I got something for you. Yeah, he tried. Little bitty thing. You know how little, a lot of times they're just so small you can't hardly see them. We were greeted. That was already a sign saying, you know what? You think, well, man, that's bad. No, I think it was actually a good reminder from the Lord. Just be careful while you're out there. Amen. Good reminder, that can pop up from anywhere. Be careful. The other thing that we had to be careful about is knowing what direction we're going. Now, I'm not one of these ones, especially when I haven't been to a place, that'll just say, oh, you know, that way is south. We'll be all right. You know, looking at the sun. Okay, we're many moons this way. You know, I don't do that. I'm not that skilled. Now, there may be people that can legit do that. I cannot. Okay? I cannot do that. What I do, what I have to do is take a map. Okay, so I'm sitting here looking at the trail. And I wasn't even above. There was a park ranger. Thankfully, he actually pulled up. I said, sir, you're going to do something in that bathroom because there's a scorpion there. He's trying to get some of the ladies in there. So you need to go in there and take care of that. After he got done dealing with that, I said, since I got you here, can you help give me some guidance? Even though I had a map. I said, can you help give me some guidance on this? And by the way, there's a great spiritual lesson. Do you remember in the book of Acts, the fellow who was reading the Bible but didn't understand what he was reading? You remember that story? And the Holy Spirit of God sent Philip over to go over and help him understand what he was reading. That goes back to the idea of knowing the author, doesn't it? He didn't understand. Even though he was looking at the road map, he didn't understand what he was reading. I was looking at it, and it looked a little confusing to me. Now, some of you who've been there and experienced it, it's not confusing. So I asked the ranger, I said, can you give me a little bit of guidance here on where I'm going and what I'm doing? He said, sure, I'd be happy to. So he sat down, we opened up the map, he pointed out a couple things, and I still didn't quite get it figured out, but it sure helped, right? But you see, church, the Lord always shows the way. Just like the ranger took some time to try to show me the way, not only does he show us the way, but he made a way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, if you notice in our text, in verse number 8, and in highway shall be there and away. When you're out in the desert, it's important to know which way you're going. Because you can get yourself in trouble really fast. You get down the wrong trail, you get down the wrong place, you get too far, you could end up getting injured or hurt, sick, dehydrated. They're sending somebody out looking for you. How often have you heard? I'm sure you've heard the stories just like I have where somebody got dehydrated and perished, died out in the wilderness because they lost their way. But you see, church, that's exactly what God does. When he blossoms, he also makes a way. The Bible says that a highway shall be there and it shall be called the way of holiness. The way of holiness. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. When Jesus said, I am the way, he was essentially saying, I am the way of holiness as well. Because there is no holiness in the way that you were going. The way that we were going, the Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. The direction that we're going with in church is not good enough. We got to go by the way of the cross. And essentially, that's what he does. Not only does he blossom and do all these things, but he also makes a way. And I'm glad, by the way, not just a way to salvation, but he also shows us the way as we're going along life's way. Amen? In other words, he gives us direction as we go along, just like the ranger said, hey, take this with you. Here's some direction as you go along. And friend, that's what God wants to do to you in your life. See, there's so many other things that we could say, but I just want to encourage you today, friend. I want to encourage you to let God work in your life. I'll say this and I'm through. In fact, I'll ask my wife if she'll come to the piano. the biggest thing that we see, the difference in as far as the difference between chapter 34 and 35 of Isaiah. In chapter 34, there's no hope. But all that changes, friend, when you get to chapter 35. And God gives hope. And He gives us some examples of some of the things that He does. And friend, you may have walked in here today feeling hopeless. You may have walked in here today feeling helpless. Feeling like God can't do anything in your life. Feeling like everything in your life is falling apart. But I'm telling you, friend, today there is hope for you. And it comes by the way of the cross. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. As she plays, I want to give you a time of invitation, and as we said the other day, just inviting you to come and do business with the Lord. Quite literally what we mean by time of invitation. God wants to blossom your life. He wants to bless your life. He wants you to produce some spiritual fruit. Whatever your need is today, friend, I wish maybe you'd get down where you are. Come down to the altar, however the Lord leads, and ask God to blossom you. Ask the Lord to help you produce some spiritual fruit. Oh, His resources are unlimited, friend. There's no limit to what God can do for you in regard to the power of God, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God. You can't exhaust it. God doesn't run out of grace. He doesn't run out of mercy. In fact, the Bible tells us that His mercies are renewed every day. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? How about you, Fred? If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die," won't you come? We'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. Won't you come? How about you, friend? Whatever your need is. Some folks are already down at the altar praying. Whatever your need is, come down and give it to the Lord. God speaking to you. Maybe you'll pray and ask the Lord, "Lord, open my eyes. Lord, unclog my ears. Lord, put a song in my heart. Lord, show me the way. Lord, help me just to be thankful that I don't have to live under the chastisement of sin." Now, that doesn't mean if I sin, I'm not going to get chastised. Because you will. Let God move. Let God speak. The song says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." Pretty good advice, really. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. He'll never let you down. He'll never fail you, friend. All right, church. Thank you so much. Appreciate your attendance here to the house of the Lord today. I hope that you can leave here saying, "I was glad that I went to church today." You know, I personally, when you really get down to it, and I listen real close, when I went in the right attitude, I've never come regretting that I came to church. Now, not everything went the way I thought things could go every time. But if you really let the Lord work, there's always something that you can take away. Whether it's a song, something in the message, a testimony that somebody gave, even a time of prayer, ought to come away rejoicing. So thank you all for being in church today. Brother Kevin, would you mind to dismiss us in a word of prayer, my brother, please?
Bow your heads. Father God, thank you so much for Sunday school this morning and the message today. Help us to take this message home, study it, and hide God's word in our heart that we might not sin against you. Give us the fuel and the power to go out and just call people for you, Lord, and lead them to you. You work in their hearts and you get them ready, and we'll just reap for you. Be with us this week. Bring us all back tonight. Keep us strong. Guide us. Direct us. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You are dismissed.